number out this morning. If you have your New Testament, if you'll be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's where we'll begin in just a moment of time. Good to have some visitors with us. We want you to know we consider you to be honored guests. We encourage you to take your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, enjoy every spiritual blessing in Christ, and be added to the family of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to read one verse for the thought of our study, and that's verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. I've always been a football fan, and one thing I've always enjoyed is watching different men be able to carry the football. And many years ago, there was a running back for the Cleveland Browns, who I won't mention his name because of his morals, but I will say that he had an interesting statement. They all asked him one time, why did he always get up slowly after being tackled? And his reply was that he didn't want the other fellas to know that he was hurt. He said, if I got up and I rubbed my left leg, I knew that the next place they'd hit me would be right there. And if I got up and I favored my back, I knew that one of them would put their helmet right there. He said, you see, I was hurt, and I didn't want them to know it. I kept playing. Now, I think we can make some spiritual application by recognizing that in life there are many things that hurt us, but we cannot quit. That there are things that are hurtful, there are things that are painful in life, and though one is down, as Paul said, one is not destroyed. And I want to talk about being down, but not destroyed. The first thing I want us to think about is that in life, we need to keep going, even when we are physically hurt. As we read the book of God, we see where some of the great people continued to serve the Lord, even though they were hurt physically. I think the most outstanding illustration of that is no one else except our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If ever there was one that continued to do the will of God, though he hurt physically, Christ is the one. And from this you will see the picture, not of some sissy kind of fella, but someone who was strong. If you take your Bible, look in the book of Isaiah and the 53rd chapter. Someone said Isaiah 53 is a mini Bible in itself, and you can almost say that's true. Because in Isaiah 53 you find where Jesus was suffering. And notice that the prophet of old is prophesying about what Jesus will endure. And he says in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Have you ever thought about what Jesus endured just at the cross alone? Where he'd been struck with the hands of men, where they had plucked the hairs from his face, and they nailed him to that cross, and there they had spit on him, and they put the crown of thorns upon him, and the blood came out. And yet, my friend, though Jesus hurt, and though Jesus was down, he continued to fulfill the will of the Father until it was time to go home. He fulfilled what God had told him to do, even though earlier he had prayed in the garden, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. I want you to think about that Jesus knew what was going to happen. He was suffering in the garden. He suffered in the governor's palace. He suffered on the way to the cross. He suffered on the cross. And yet Jesus, though hurt physically, did not put down his faith. He continued to put faith in his heavenly Father. But there's a second example of that, and that's who we read just a moment ago, and that's the Apostle Paul. And if ever there was a man that walked so close to Christ, it would be Paul. After his conversion, that man walked extremely close to the footsteps of Jesus. And yet you'll find that this was a man who was hurt physically, but he did not give up his faith. You'll find in the book of Acts in the 16th chapter where they beat him and put him in prison. You would think that might make someone say, you know, if this is what Christianity is being beaten, being mistreated, being thrown into a prison, I just quit. There's no need for me to go through all this pain if this is what is included in Christianity. But you know what you find Paul doing in Acts 16 after he was beaten? He was singing songs of praise unto his God. He was cast down. No doubt his body hurt. No doubt every time they brought down that cat of nine tails on his back, that hurt him. And yet, my friend, that man did not quit. That man was cast down, but his faith was not destroyed. Then if you take your Bible and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you can begin reading at verse 24 and read through verse 30, and you'll find where that man went through many trials. You'll find where that man was hurt on many occasions. And you'll find that though he was hurt, he did not quit. Notice that he said in verse 24, "From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Now there is a man who's gone through a lot. There is a man who's physically been hurt, not just one time, but time and time again. And then you can read in 2 Corinthians 12 where he had the thorn in the flesh. And whatever that thorn was, he prayed that the Lord would remove it. And the Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And Paul was a man who suffered physically. Now, I want you to stop and think about today. We have some who give up under the least amount of hurt. When it comes to just coming together to worship God, as Brother Danny brought out in the announcements, if they sneeze, they can't make it to services. But we have some who, though they hurt and their body aches, they're here every time. Some would like to walk in, but they have to be brought in. But you know what? They're here. They've not quit, though their body hurts. And I'll tell you something, my beloved friend, that is something that inspires me and encourages my faith. When I see someone who is maybe elderly or someone who's going through a lot of pain, and yet they do everything they can to come to worship their God, they make great sacrifices to be here because they realize that their faith is important. They may be cast down physically, but their faith is not destroyed. Their faith is strong, even though their body may be weak. But you know, secondly, we need to learn to continue and not give up if we're cast down and hurt emotionally, with mental stress. You know, too many around with their feelings hurt and they quit serving the Lord. They say, "This one did not speak to me," or "A friend told me someone that was not so," and they just pout and quit. But have you ever looked in your Bible and look again at Jesus, and here's the perfect one? And have you ever thought about that He at times was disturbed emotionally? Open your Bible to the book of John in the 11th chapter, and you'll find where Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus. And though He knows He has the power to raise him from the dead, notice that Jesus' heart is stuck with grief in verse 35 when He has the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Though it's the shortest verse, my friend, it might be one of the most powerful ones. There is the Son of God weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. There He is, weeping because of what sin did. Weeping because He'd lost a friend. Weeping for Mary and Martha, showing the human side. And I'll tell you, my friend, there was a time when Jesus was hurt. Then you can take your Bible and look in the book of Matthew in the 26th chapter, and in about verse 14, you'll find where Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Can you imagine being betrayed, sold for 30 pieces of silver? And then Judas comes and plants that hypocritical kiss on him. I've often thought about that kiss. That probably hurt more than any slap, to know that Judas had sold him out. Have you ever thought of the stress that went through the mind of Jesus when somebody whom He loved and whom He cared for betrayed Him? But then think about in Matthew 26 and verse 69 that Peter denies him not just one time, but three times. Can you imagine the hurt in the heart of Jesus when Peter, one that is always mentioned as the front of the disciples, when they list him because of his prominence among them, and yet he is one that denies the Lord not just one time, but three times. Have you ever thought of the hurt Jesus experienced? Have you ever thought that that would cast one down? And yet, my friend, his faith was not destroyed. I want to tell you something. Sometimes emotional pain is worse than physical pain. Because emotional pain can cut to the heart of a man. Physical wounds sometimes heal, but sometimes those mental things, the emotional side, those things are hard to heal. And here is Jesus going through great stress as people mock him and belittle him and spit on him and ridicule him when he's on the cross. And yet, my friend, he did not give up his faith. He kept going even though it was difficult. Though he was cast down, his faith was not destroyed. But then look at Paul. Permit me to use this man as another example. Look again in your Bible, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, notice that this man says in verse 5, "For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side." That means from the Jew and Gentile. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Paul said there were church problems and there were difficulties. And here was a man that had to go through some pain emotionally. He said there's trouble within and there's trouble without. And no doubt Paul emotionally experienced many things that would make him want to just give up. And Paul said earlier in this book, "I'm cast down, but not destroyed." Paul, when they beat you, did it hurt? Yes. But I'll tell you what hurt worse was when my brethren betrayed me. "Well, Paul, did you quit?" "Oh, no, I didn't quit. I was cast down. But I did not lose my faith in my God." But I want you to think about a third man for just a moment. If there's a man I love to study and I love to look at from the Old Testament, it's the man by the name of David. And I don't know how many times I've looked at old David and I thought he is a man that you can look at and study and find so many lessons. But have you ever thought what David said in the 55th Psalm in verse 6? One of my favorite verses. Where David said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away and be at rest." Now, David, what's going on in your life that you would want to get away from it? David says, "I'm down." He may have looked out from the palace and saw a dove fly away and say, "That's what I wish I could do. Get away from everything that I'm facing." "Well, David, what are you facing?" "My son wants to take my kingdom. I've been betrayed by a friend." David could have looked back at his past sins, and David was hurting at that time. And emotionally, David was a mess. And he said, "If I had the wings of a dove, I'd just fly away." But David realized he couldn't fly away. So, David, what are you going to do? Are you going to quit serving the Lord? Are you going to quit being a disciple? Are you going to quit being God's chosen? He said, "No. I'm cast down, but my faith is not destroyed." I want us to think about today. You ever been through church problems? Oh, I'll tell you, church problems can cause your heart to hurt. It could cause one to be cast down. It could cause one, like Paul in 2 Corinthians 7, to almost say, "Let's just give it up." I'll tell you, if you enjoy church problems, there's something wrong with your heart. I've been around people who seem to like to stir up problems everywhere they go. And I'll tell you something, my friend, if there's anything that would cause a man to be cast down and to have problems and maybe can't sleep at night, it's when the local church is having problems. I'll tell you, there's been times I've been so low because of church problems. Times I've sat and couldn't sleep. Sometimes I've just sat there and concerned about the local church. And I'll tell you something, my friend, you can be cast down because of church problems. And if you're not careful, faith can be destroyed. But secondly, there's family problems. there is a spouse who may be not getting along, and there's problems in the home, and there's problems all the time, and it seems like that the family's always bickering, it seems like the children aren't obeying, and that many times there can be problems in the home. It can be like in Luke 15, where the young man went out and lived in the filth of sin, and the father said, "My son, which was lost, is my son, which is dead." Because spiritually he was dead, and spiritually he was lost until he came home. And if ever there was a thing that could cause someone to be cast down, it could be problems in the home. And let me say with all kindness and candor, nobody knows what's going on in someone else's home. Sometimes we think we know. Sometimes we hear a side or we hear something, but nobody really knows. God knows. But I'll tell you something, my friend. Sometimes we're hard on people and we don't know what they may be facing in their own home life. They could be going through problems. They may be enduring some things that we've never had to endure. Sometimes I'm fearful that we just assume that every family's getting along. I'll tell you something, my friend. There can be problems in the home. And they can cut to the heart. But I'll tell you something else. Sickness can cause you to hurt. Maybe your own body. Maybe you're going through something physically and nobody knows the pain that you go through. Or maybe it's a loved one that's sick. And you're doing the best you can to take care of them. You're trying your best to do what you can to help them in life. And maybe sometimes what even hurts even more is you may know they'll never get better. And there you are tending to them. And it's like your faith is just being put to the test and you're cast down. Or when death comes. When death of a loved one comes and you stand at the casket and your faith is being put to the test and you're cast down. If you're not careful, your faith can be destroyed. So what do we do? How do we continue though we hurt either physically or emotionally? I want to name three or four things in the lesson's yours. The first thing we must do is have a never dying love for our Lord. You must put God first. If God's not first in your life, but somebody is or something else is, I'll tell you what, then when the trials come and the problems come, you'll lose your faith. If you have more faith in a person or in a thing than you do in God, then I'll tell you something, your faith will be destroyed when the life comes tumbling in. Secondly, we must put trust in God. And our faith and trust is so deep that we realize that our Father is watching over us even when we feel like we are all alone. Job had lost all of his children. Job had lost all of his possessions. And yet Job made one of the most outstanding statements in the divine revelation in Job 13:15 when he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Do you trust your Heavenly Father that He's watching over you and that He is watching over the things that are going on in your life? Even though you're cast down, do you still put your faith in Him that though you hurt, He still cares for you? That though there are problems, you've put your prayer life and you're reminded of what Peter said. You're casting your cares on Him because He cares for you. You believe that with all your heart. I don't always know how prayer works, but I believe that my God cares for me. I believe that my God's watching over me. I believe that my Father loves me. But you know something? Just like an earthly father doesn't give everything to the child that the child wants, our Heavenly Father doesn't give us everything we want here. We're not home yet. And because we live on this earth, there are going to be trials and troubles and heartaches and sorrows and pain and discomfort. There's going to be sickness and death. There's going to be so much grief at times. It feels unbearable. And God says, hold on to your faith. Sometimes that's all you have left to hold on to. That one day, you'll be in a place where there's no more tears and no more crying and no more suffering and no more heartache. But until then, I have to be determined to hold on and trust that God will give me the grace I need to get through every obstacle, every problem, every heartache that I face. Do I have that kind of faith? I remember when my boys were young. One of the great joys was when we'd be in a swimming pool and they were afraid to get in. But when Daddy got in, they'd still jump in. Why? They knew their father would take care of them. And you know what, my friend? In life, our Father takes care of us. Even when we feel like we're going under, God may allow us to hurt, but God will never harm. But I want to tell you something else. We get help from one another. In Galatians 6:2, you remember what Paul said when Paul said, "Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ." One of the joys of being a child of God is having someone to help bear your burden. To have someone care for you, to have someone love you, to have someone be there. Remember back in 2 Corinthians 7, after Paul talked about being down and troubled on every side? Look at what he says in verse 6. In verse 6, he said, "Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." I love that statement, the God who comforts the downcast. Earlier, Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians that he is the God of all comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you can look at what he says and notice that he will say that he is the God of all comfort. Where do I find comfort? I can find it in my God. But finally, I'll tell you what will help me keep my faith even when life is hard and I'm downcast. I keep my eyes on the reward. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And when Paul was writing back to Timothy in this final epistle that he ever penned, as he's writing to the young preacher, notice what he says to him in verse 6. He says in verse 6, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul knows he's going to be put to death. He said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. You must see the crown of life, that it's worth it. I have a question for you. Have you ever been cast down? Are you going to let it destroy your faith? I'll tell you something. When you stand up here and you look out and you see people that have not obeyed the gospel, it cuts your heart. And when you stand up here and you see empty pews where people used to sit but no longer sit and aren't faithful, it cuts your heart. But I can't imagine what it does to God's heart. To have a Father that loves you, you spurn the love. And that though this life is hard, He's given us grace sufficient to face each and every problem until our time is called to come home. When I was growing up, one of the rules was you'd be home before dark. Back in that time, you know, you didn't wear a watch, you went out and played with your friends, but you knew that you was home at dark time. Some of us are getting in the sunset of years. Some of us need to make sure we're right with God. and that one day we can go home before dark to be with our Father and to be with Christ who lights and illuminates the heaven with His glory and to never shed another tear. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you do so as together we stand and sing.